Welcome to the Awakening Podcast. I'm your host, Eddie Hyatt. Glad you joined me again today as we continue our theme of spiritual warfare. I trust these episodes are being a blessing to you. I believe they are because I sense in my own spirit a lifting and an edification from the truths that we are sharing. And we're going to continue today and we're going to talk about the weapon of truth. But let me begin by telling you a little story, personal story, that happened in my family. This was probably, I'm going to guess, about 1952, maybe 53, but my family lived in California at that time in a little town called Carruthers, and about 90 miles from Fresno, California. And we attended an Assembly of God church. I was probably about 5 years old at the time. And I had older brothers, so I had another brother about 4 years older than me and another named Pete, whom this story's about 7 years older than me. So Pete would have been 12 or 13 at the time. And then another brother older than him. And I remember us going to big tent revivals of well-known evangelists at the time. I remember us going to Oral Roberts. This was in the early days when he first launched out into his healing ministry with these giant tent crusades. He came to Fresno, California. And I still remember, just a kid, maybe 5, 6 years old, after one of Oral's meetings, and it was in the daytime, and I remember seeing a young man. And apparently, I don't know if he had, had been injured his legs or whatever, but he had two huge casts on his legs that went all the way up to his hips. And but I saw him walking along, and there were two friends on each side of him, and they were talking, and he was so joyous, and he had two crutches that he was carrying on his shoulders. He had just been prayed for and had been miraculously healed. But now, another tent evangelist that we went to was a man named, his name escapes me at the moment, but he was an individual whom Gordon Lindsay, when Gordon Lindsay separated from William Branham, he began traveling with another minister and organizing his tent crusades. And they came to Fresno, California, and we went in this massive tent, several thousand people under it, and William Freeman was his name. And William Freeman was having after he had preached, he had a prayer line, long, I guess hundreds of people, and there was a young woman who came in the prayer line. She was obviously demon-possessed, and I think the demons were speaking out through her, just like they did at times where you read in the Gospels, and Jesus encountered demons speaking through individuals, and I don't know if there's an examples of that in Acts, there could be, but anyway, William Freeman, he asked for the massive crowd there to bow their heads, to show reverence to God, and to bow their heads and pray while he commanded the demons to come out of this woman. Now, my brother Pete, I remember him telling this down through the years, heard it more than once. He was standing on the outside of the tent. There were quite a few people because there were cars parked out, big parking lot, and their cars close to the tent, and some people standing around leaning on cars, and some standing out at the edge of the tent. And my brother was out at the edge of the tent, and of course he followed William Freeman's instructions, but there was a young man who was laughing and carrying on, just very irreverent, was paying no attention. He wasn't interested in what was going on. He was laughing and joking. And my brother Pete said when William Freeman commanded the demons to come out of this young woman, this young man who was there laughing, cutting up, joking, and said all of a sudden he started gagging and gasping, and he grabbed his throat. And like he couldn't breathe, and he fell over on the ground. And of course, some of the ushers rushed over and picked him up and carried him over to a prayer tent. And I would assume that they were able to pray with him and cast out the demons and so on, because they would have been coached and trained into doing that. But that left an incredible impression on my brother, because from where he was quite a ways to the platform where William Freeman was casting out the demon. And he had noticed this irreverent young man. who seemed to have no interest in what was going on there. And maybe he came with family or relatives, and he had no interest. But the moment William Freeman cast the demons out of the young woman, this irreverent young man grabbed his throat and began gasping and fell to the ground. So, wow, what an impression. Yes, demons are real, but we don't have to be afraid of them. But we are not to be irreverent. We're not to be foolish. And we're to walk in a reverence towards God, knowing who we are in Christ, and there's no reason for us to fear. I just wanted to share that little story with you from my life. And let's go over and we'll talk about the weapon of truth. Truth is a powerful weapon. And in Ephesians chapter 6, where Paul, starting in verse 11, he says, put on the whole armor of God. The Greek word there is, I believe you would pronounce it, panoply. And panoply, it referred to the entire outfitting that was worn by the Roman soldier. And Paul is going to use that as a metaphor, as symbols of our spiritual weapons against our enemy, with whom he says we wrestle. And he says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles. You see, the cunning schemes. Because the devil has no real power against you, only to the degree that he can deceive you. And so he has all kinds of cunning schemes to deceive people, so that he can bring them under his influence and under his bondage. So, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the cunning schemes of the devil, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. So ultimately, our warfare is not against people, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. Take up the panoply. Take up this entire outfit that God has for you that will cause you to be an overcomer. That you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore. Standing is a posture of confidence and courage. We're not cowering. We're not cringing. But we're standing. We realize there's an enemy out there. But we're standing in the authority of Jesus Christ, knowing that he has given us the weaponry that we need to overcome. He begins by saying, the first thing he mentions is truth. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. And truly, truly, the Roman soldier had a large belt that went around him. And all the other pieces of armament were connected to this belt. The scabbard for his sword was attached to this belt. The breastplate of righteousness was attached to this belt. If he loses his belt, he's going to lose other pieces of the armor as well. And so the belt of truth is so very, very important. And you see, because Satan traffics in lies and deceptions, that is why truth is so important. And that is why ultimately, if we are to walk in victory, we have to know the truth. That is why Jesus said in John, the Gospel of John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed. You see, we've not just been called to be church members. We've not just been called to be Christians. By the way, I don't think Jesus ever used the word Christian. The word Christian's only found two or three times in the entire New Testament. You see, we're called to be disciples. And a disciple is a committed learner and follower. So we are committed learners and followers of Jesus. Where are we going to learn about him? In his word. And so Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you will know the truth. And the truth will make you free. Yes, you will know the truth. and the truth will make you free. Martin Luther had an incredible impact upon the church, upon Christianity, and upon the world. I mean, he changed the flow of history, nailing his 95 theses, challenging the authority of the Roman Catholic Church, which was the dominant authority in the medieval Western world. Popes exercised influence and authority over emperors and kings and princes. And Martin Luther took a stand against all of this with the truth of God's word. And when in later life Martin Luther was asked, because in the natural it goes, he was not a prominent person. He didn't have any great positions or titles. He was a professor in a very small university in a very small town in Germany called Wittenberg, and was a parish priest and a monk. And later in life, someone asked him, how were you able to have such influence? And Martin Luther replied, I simply taught, preached, and wrote God's word. He said, otherwise, I did nothing. The word did it all. He said, there was never an emperor or a prince that did such damage to popes in the papal office. He says, but it was the word that did it all. I simply preached, taught, and wrote God's word. The word did it all. Oh, where is the truth? Jesus prayed one time for his disciples. He said, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. And remember, Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you're my disciples indeed. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Oh, how we need to be conveyors of truth today. Because just like darkness is the absence of light, and if you want to get rid of the darkness, it doesn't help to curse the darkness. Just turn on the light and the darkness will flee. And you want to get rid of the spiritual darkness around you, we have to turn on the light of truth, the light of God's word. Oh, how we need a revival of God's word in the church today, where that the truth once again is being preached and taught and written from the pulpits of America. Hey, this is Eddie Hyatt. We're going to have to stop. But wow, so important that we be people of truth and conveyors of truth. I hope you'll check out my website, eddiehyatt.com. Check out my books on my website. There's also articles there. Check out my books on Amazon. And I look forward to seeing you tomorrow for another episode of the Awakening Podcast.